Utah writer Gina Wickwar.
If you haven't got your flower garden planted by now, you're in line to win the Procrastinator's Award of the Year. But don't get your hopes up. I win it hands down on an annual basis. To wit, I have several boxes of bulbs and any number of pots waiting to be transplanted. All are sitting on the brick rim of my raised flower bed. Sitting there, mind you, not planted in the soil exactly, but pretty darn close. It takes me a while to get my gardening act together every year, and there are some compelling reasons for this. First, I'm not overly fond of bugs, insects, worms, spiders, and the like. This, I know, stems from my 4 years in Panama when I was a young girl. In those formative years, I became intimate with scorpions, which found their way into my shoes, tarantulas that hung on the undersides of the banana palm fronds, ants that traveled in huge swaths across the kitchen counter if a piece of food were inadvertently left out overnight, giant red fire ants who built dirt mounds as tall as I was, June bugs, flying cricket-like things that smashed against the window screens in the late evening, their dead bodies covering the ground like a thick carpet. Perhaps you can appreciate that it's been hard for me to forget my day-to-day encounters with these creatures, even from a distance of 55-plus years. Hence my dilemma. When you garden, you must get down on your knees and disturb the fresh earth, which means you're very likely to encounter one or more bugs. Oh, not fire ants or the more exotic insects of the tropics, but even a wiggly worm or a slithering slug will freak me out. I mean, really freak me out, as in jumping up and down and screaming that I'm being attacked by an invasion of, well, of something. So it is with reluctance, but with courage, that every spring I don my sun hat, put on a long-sleeve shirt and long pants, slide on my gardening gloves, pick up my trowel, kneel down on my knee pads, and take a poke at the earth, gritting my teeth and praying that nothing black and small or yellow will pop up its head. And it usually does, however. And after I have hyperventilated and tried to suppress my screams, I delicately continue digging, trying to get through it as quickly as I can. This usually means my holes are not as deep as they should be, but Mother Nature, kind and forgiving soul that she is, looks lovingly on me, so strangely most of my plants take. This should be the end of my travails, but as you all know, there also exists a dark side to nature. It's called morning glory. The Google entry says this: wild morning glory is also known as field bindweed, creeping Jenny, and several other names not used in polite circles. The entry admonishes us not to confuse wild morning glory with the annual morning glory vines that are easily controlled and bloom beautifully all summer. Wild morning glory, it says, grows in almost every part of the world and is one of nature's most smothering, persistent plants, with roots penetrating the soil to a depth of 8 feet or more. Here I take exception. The morning glory root actually begins in China. In addition to its tenacious perennial nature, the entry continues, seeds are produced each year that may germinate over a 20-year period or more. Make that a millennium. The entry ends cheerfully. Morning glory is a tough problem in your yard, but you can do several things to battle the invader. One of the suggestions, if I recall correctly, is a strategically placed neutron bomb. Not owning a neutron bomb, however, I am forced to weed by hand. If there's anything I hate more than planting my flower garden, it's weeding it. All those bugs and creepy crawlers, all that morning glory, all that agony. On the other hand, I love the fragrances, the colors, the sheer beauty of the flowers, the loveliness of the butterflies they attract. Well, as they say, no pain, no gain. That has to be the gardener's motto, if ever there was one. This is Gina Wickwar.